This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back to Wells Tech, episode 401 for Tuesday, July 14th, 2015. My name is Martin Spriggs, and I'm one of your regular hosts for this little show we do each and every Tuesday, 4 o'clock Central Time, or available via on-demand, via audio or video. Show talking about technology and ministry, helping me do that each and every week. Fresh off the high of Wells Tech Conference 2015, Sally Draper, who's back in New Ulm, Minnesota. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you for episode 401, marching on to episode 500 now. And you're right, Wells Tech Conference was a real high, and I'm just trying to kind of figure things out now that I don't have it consuming my life anymore.
There's some emptiness, but we're going to fill that up a little bit with this show and talk about some of the highs, some of the takeaways. Every time I think you have a conference and we have that many people coming together, we had almost 250 people come together, I think there's some takeaways, some things that you learn, some things that hopefully we can kind of push into the podcast going forward for the next 100 episodes here. So it's interesting that we're measuring our milestones now in 100 episode increments. Do you think we'd be doing that when we were on like show 20?
No, I sure didn't. I don't know about you, but yeah, I wasn't looking that far out into the future. But now, yeah, we're on a roll, I guess. And the conference kind of made me feel like we have a lot more work to do, that there's a lot of people out there doing interesting things, and technology is constantly changing, and the creativity that we observed at the conference with folks using technology in so many interesting ways deserves a platform, and I think that's what Wells Tech is here for.
Yep. Couple of comments. Well, we're going to probably invest a little bit more time in looking at some of these comments as in the coming weeks, so we can kind of learn even more. But there were a couple themes. One was more coffee, which I thought was interesting. Not enough coffee. I get it. Longer sessions was interesting. Our sessions were 50 minutes, both you and I presented, you know, some of these 50-minute sessions. And I guess it is a challenge. You're just getting started, and depending on the conversation, the dialogue going on in 50 minutes, it's over before you know it. So I think there's opportunity for longer sessions for different kinds of topics. And then the other theme was, well, why don't we try and schedule this so it's not in competition with other conferences, other Wells conferences, including the school leadership conference, which was just a couple weeks ago, interestingly enough, at the same exact venue. So, Sally, I think there are kind of three conferences now that we maybe want to work around: worship conference, school leadership conference, and Wells Tech, because I think we're competing for some of the same eyeballs, and we'll try and figure that out in the future.
Definitely. But what I'm hearing from you, Martin, is that there will be another Wells Tech conference in the future. So stay tuned, folks, for when that might be. It may be a few years away, but I think that we got enough positive feedback to realize that there was interest here and excitement around the topics that were presented.
Yeah, I think that was a consistent conversation I had, people talking to me, and then also in the feedback forums, too. So, yeah, absolutely.
Very good. Well, I want to share, let's see if I can share my screen real quick, the fact that one of the fun things about Wells Tech Conference was we had our own hashtag. I think someone joked and said perhaps it could be trending on Twitter, but I don't think we made it quite that far, Martin. But we did have a lot of people that shared using the hashtag #WellsTechConf, and I put together a Storify at storify.com. You can go and search out all those different hashtags and pull together all the things that were tweeted and shared on Facebook and shared on Instagram, etc., using our Wells Tech Conf hashtag. So if you want to kind of relive the conference through the social media you can definitely check out our Storify, where you can see tweets, you can see pictures, like our famous 400th episode selfie there, Martin.
Our first ever selfie, I think, right?
That's right, with the conference attendees. Our live audience, that was kind of a first for us as well. We maybe have had a very small live audience before, but a whole room full of folks were there for our 400th episode, so that was really exciting.
Yeah, cool. Storify is really cool. I think there are opportunities for ministry use there too. Hey, Sally, can you turn your volume down a little bit? I'm getting a little bit of echo on my
Absolutely.
Side.
Absolutely. I hope I'm
Or
doing
I can
it.
Whisper.
Let me do that. All right. Hopefully that's better, Martin.
Yep. Okay.
Very good. So you guys want to check out that Storify because all the fun stuff is there. Towards the end of the conference, Katie Clennard Ellison from Time of Grace did a Take Your Social Media to the Next Level. And Jason Schmidt was in that session, and he did a whole lot of tweeting from there. So you can learn all about that session just by reviewing all the tweets that came out of it. Lots of good ideas and things that he was able to share there. And other people were tweeting as well. So again, check out the Storify and kind of read the story of the conference in hashtag format.
Let's talk a little bit about highlights. One of my highlights, Alan, I think in the minds of a lot of people, was the Friday evening Ignite session. Ignite was a little thing we put together where we asked attendees to volunteer to come up. They did this ahead of time, but come up and present a PowerPoint on any topic that they wanted, any technology and ministry topic that they felt was worth sharing. And we gave them 20 slides. They each had to build 20 slides, and they had 20 seconds per slide, and it would auto-advance. So they had to really rehearse and time this. So we had some very cool presentations. One was on a virtual confirmation class using some tools. One was on Salesforce.com for prospect management. One was on a notification management system. Maybe the highlight was the last one, right, Sally, from Pastor James Aderman, who did kind of a parody on Screwtape Letters, where he put on his horns and cape and told everybody somewhat sarcastically all the best practices of PowerPoint. He did a nice job. It got a lot of laughs, and it was a great way to end that evening.
It was a lot of fun. I was just really impressed that the men who presented put together such a variety of topics and shared a lot of their actual, how they did it, the hands-on things, the equipment they purchased, those kind of things through their presentations. And so I think there was a little bit of something for everyone. And then, who hasn't done a PowerPoint and needs to know those kind of rules, like, don't fill the screen completely with teeny tiny text that people can't read or whatever. Very well done, Pastor Aderman, and we all enjoyed it very much. It was a great finale.
Yep. Some of the other highlights, including giveaways, kind of made their presence felt in the minds of just a lot of people. They were really excited about the possibility of winning some cool prizes. And who was the big winner, Sal? I think you had some pictures in the Storify lineup of our biggest winner, right,
Just Alan? Now. We were excited to give away a Chromebook Pixel, Martin. That was the biggest prize. And it was kind of funny because the winner was Alan Bunt.
There he is.
A member of Good Shepherd in Wisconsin Rapids. And this picture that he tweeted was him in the car, taken from his Chromebook Pixel webcam, I believe.
That's an awesome picture, if that's the case. Yeah.
And it was funny because the very first night of the conference, Alan walked up to introduce himself to you and I, Martin, and he said, I'm here, I'm excited to present, I'm going to show them how you can use really old equipment to do, I think he was presenting on MIDI, using the MIDI organ kind of thing in your worship service. And I just smiled to myself because the fact that he was going to be walking away with the newest equipment by the end of the conference was there on my mind. So I was excited to open that envelope that he was in attendance and to award him that Pixel. That was a lot of fun.
Cool. And he was very appreciative and excited about it. So
absolutely.
There are all kinds of other prizes, and that's kind of a cool thing. I mean, that's not the whole point of the conference, of course, but it makes it more fun, I think. So, and a lot of thanks to our sponsors who donated a lot of those prizes. And there are some cool things that were given away, iPads and laminating machines and other Chromebooks, that kind of stuff. So thanks to our sponsors for making that all possible. So, Sally, what kind of takeaways did you have from the conference?
Well, since you're speaking of sponsors, I'll start there and show my corny selfie that I made with Brian Schaefer. I was super excited to meet so many people face-to-face. All these virtual relationships that we've had and formed through the years of doing Wells Tech kind of came to fruition and reinforced, you know, that you can do a lot of things virtually, but there's nothing that surpasses that face-to-face fellowship time and things. So I met a lot of people that I've known virtually. I think a lot of our listeners met each other and connected in ways that they hadn't realized there were connections. And so, you know, walking away from it, they have a friend whom they can call on when they're ready to tackle certain projects or whatever it may be. So just that camaraderie, that fellowship time, maybe more important than the time we spent in the classroom listening to all the great presentations and things.
I'd agree with that. My takeaway was similar. I think an encouragement to us to continue building this network, trying to make these connections, make these connections more frequent and more meaningful. So connecting the right people about the same topics, and hopefully we can do that going forward. But this kind of made it very real as we saw it happen right in front of our eyes. So it was cool.
Yep. I was also excited that our podcast got a little bit more awareness. Perhaps some of the people that were there didn't even realize there was a Wells Tech podcast. So through the course of all the tweeting and all of that fun stuff that we did, we got a lot more followers, additions to our Wells Tech listserv, followers on Facebook and Twitter. And so I'm hoping that means that we'll get a lot more people joining the conversation regularly, sharing with us using our various social channels and things, because we need to make this Wells Tech virtual community a lot larger so we can continue to learn all the great things that are going out there in ministry and technology.
Yeah, technology is a topic, I think, on the lips of many leaders in almost every congregation these days. Are we doing enough? Are we doing the right things? You know, how do we get started? Those kind of conversations, and the Wells Tech community is there to help. One of the neat things that I kind of observed over the course of the conference was kind of the diversity of technology and the diversity of the talent in attendance. Just a lot of people there who had a lot of expertise and a lot of different things. Some things that I have no idea how to do. You mentioned Ellen Button MIDI, you know, that's certainly a weak spot for me, but there were all kinds of other topics where I could have, if I had a chance to attend all the sessions, I would have learned a ton, a lot of new stuff for me. And that's neat to be able to see how God has blessed our little fellowship with a lot of different skill sets, a lot of different experiences, and also a willingness to share.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how we learn from each other. It was, for me, kind of exhausting and overwhelming. I'm not sure if other people would feel the same way, but there was so much to take in such a short, compact period of time that you could just kind of go, wow, I don't know if I can handle all this or not. But I think the important thing is to take away one or two things that you can implement yourself and not be focused on having to do it all, but just being exposed to it, planting the seed that you could do different things, I think is helpful. That's one of the reasons why you just go and observe all these different things and figure out where best to use your gifts and opportunities in your own congregations and schools.
Yep. And my last takeaway was what I'll maybe call the joy of hashtags. We had that, you know, Wells Tech Conf hashtag, and a lot of people used it, and you shared your Storify, which is kind of cool. It's kind of fun to see different networks exploding with different things, Instagram, you know, Twitter, Facebook, those kinds of things. And I think there's value maybe for congregational use too around events if they want to encourage more engagement from all different kinds of segments of the congregation. Obviously, you know, those that are into social media know what a hashtag is. But then kind of the neat part is after the thing is over, you can kind of go back and see, not just during the conference, but, you know, after the event, whatever, all the things that went on, and a good way to kind of build your own little album of historical, this is what we did kind of stuff.
Absolutely. One more takeaway for me was a personal conversation I had with missionary Mike Hartman. And those that listen to the podcast over time realize that Mike Hartman's been on several times and has commented throughout the history of the show. He serves in Mexico. And what he had to say to me personally was how much the podcast means to him and his lovely wife, Rachel, how they listen and pick up things each time, and how they also feel the connection of the Wells Tech community, not just with me and you, Martin, but with everyone who contributes to the show, and that keeps them connected to home as they serve in a foreign mission. And so that was really special to hear that, and thanks, Mike, for sharing your impressions.
Yeah, Mike's a neat guy. Blessings on your ministry there, Mike, and glad we can provide some little comforts of home, so to speak. Last but not least, if you didn't attend the conference, couldn't for whatever reason, whether financial, distance, scheduling, whatever, certainly look forward to future opportunities and stay listening and watching the show. But we will provide a resource list, or have provided a resource list from all the presenters. So their links, their PowerPoints, or whatever leave behinds or takeaways that they wanted to make available to their attendees of their sessions. Also, you know, some of the keynote stuff, it's all listed there. If you go to wells.net/WellsTechConf, that's the conference website. We're going to have that up for a while. All the presentation resources are listed there at the top. Just click on the link and you can see them sorted by presenter's name. So take a look at those if you didn't get a chance to attend the conference, or even if you did want to kind of get some of the, go back through and relive some of the details that maybe you missed.
So onward with Wells Tech and to our next century of podcasting, our next century show numbers of podcasting.
Yes.
And looking forward to another Wells Tech conference sometime out in the future.
Yep, we'll have to figure that out yet. Let's move on to our next segment, which we call News in Tech. Some sad news, Sally, right? At least from our...
Yeah, I was really disappointed to receive an email from my friends at My Brain Shark, and they have decided then to shutter their service. My Brain Shark is kind of an offshoot of a bigger website called Brain Shark. So that one, Brain Shark website, is more monetized, more towards business communication, things like that. My Brain Shark allowed personal accounts and the ability to upload PowerPoints in particular, but you could upload other content, documents, images, whatever they may be, and then through the website record narration for them. So maybe a photo slideshow or whatever it may be, but record your narration along with it. It's a handy little tool, and they have, as I said, decided to shutter that service. So they laid out a plan for the ability to port your content over to YouTube beginning on July 18th. On August 29th, they'll cut off the ability to create new content. And then finally, on January 4th, 2016, they're going to shutter the service completely. The website will be taken down. So a disappointing announcement from them, and something I guess we have to live with in the Web 2.0 world, where we fall in love with certain online tools and they may not last forever.
Yep. Yeah, this is a tool that I use as well, but there are some possible replacements. We've talked about some of the screen sharing kinds of things, or screencasting kinds of things that Camtasia makes. Camtasia Studios, one of them. You can use Jing. You can, you know, there's lots of different tools. One that maybe I would mention that's kind of coming on the scene and I'm a big fan of so far is something called Office Mix. Works specifically with PowerPoint, and I believe you have to have the 2013 version of PowerPoint to make it work. But basically, it's an add-on for PowerPoint, and it allows you to record not just, obviously, the screen or the slides that you put together, but your voice. It'll record video if you want to do it that way. You can annotate on the screen with digital ink. Polls, interactive apps that you can add in. Then you get some cool insights and analytics. So see who viewed it, how long they viewed it, and gather some of the feedback from that. And then also it's very friendly to many different kinds of devices. so you can play back on almost any device. So it's free. It's in preview still. But I've had no trouble downloading it, installing it. I think the preview is open to anybody. They have some nice examples here. You can look at some professionally done ones, and you can add your own as well. So it's actually a very cool product. It's free, so there's no charge for it, other than having to have Office 2013. But that's at mix.office.com. Pretty cool.
Awesome.
Next on the hit parade here for Wells Tech is Wells Now. And those of you that are frequenters of the Wells website noticed something new, and that's that we've totally redone Wells.net. That happened over the weekend. What do you think, Sally?
I'm very excited about the redesign of Wells.net, except I'm having some internet issues on this end and it's not loading for me. So I don't know if you're able to load up a preview.
I sure can. Just give me 1 second and we will get
totally there. On me. But Wells.net previously was hosted on the Drupal web design platform and content management system. And now we've switched over to WordPress. So that's a pretty big change for Wells.net. Herculean efforts behind the scenes, and kudos to our communication services staff as well as Julie Duran, our webmaster, and others in the web services area that were involved in the changeover of Wells.net. Happened over the weekend. We do all kinds of things all at once, it seems, in Wells. So while we were doing Wells Tech Conference, those folks were working behind the scenes to switch Wells .net at the same time.
Yeah, so kudos to Julie Duran and Debbie Kameen on our staff, as well as Shelley Mattis, who did some testing. And then on the communication services side, of course, Lee Hitter leads that department. Amanda Klemp was very instrumental in organizing all the content. Brianna Lambrecht did the design and really was kind of the mastermind behind how everything's laid out and presented. And then Sarah Horn in that department as well was instrumental in adding content. And there were a whole host of others, but they did a really nice job with this. One of the neat things about the app, the new app or the new site, is that it's mobile friendly. So if you visit it on a tablet or a smartphone, you're going to get a good experience as well. The old site was not as friendly. So looking forward to some of the feedback on that, and hopefully it will be more and more use. So make sure you share the fact that the new site exists and opportunities to share its content as well. So cool stuff.
Definitely. So that must bring us to the time for picks of the week.
We might as well do it again for the 401st time, Sally. Go right ahead.
All right. And my pick of the week, I picked up from Wells Tech Conference. I believe it was Rachel Pearson who tweeted about Slides Carnival. SlidesCarnival.com has a host of templates for Google Slide presentations. They're organized along the top as formal, inspirational, creative, simple, startup, elegant. Whatever category you want to hop into, then you're going to see a whole bunch of different templates that you can incorporate into your Google Slideshows, and all of these are available for free, my favorite price. So once you find a template you like, you can click on it. It should load up. I'm just going to click on this Nathaniel one, for instance. It gives you a little bit of a description of the template, and then you can click to open it in your Google Docs and save a copy of it and apply it to your slides. So pretty straightforward information there about how you can use it, and any Q&A, different slide layouts and things like that. It's all provided there. Just wait
cool.
for the screen to load completely, and then there's your button down below to use it as a template on your own Google Slides presentation. The thing I was impressed with is there's a lot more to it than just a fun splash screen or whatever. Obviously they have some cool designs, but this particular template, and for instance, it's called Nathaniel. It loads up, and you have like 25 to 28 different layouts with all different variations of the theming. It's not loading real quick on my system because I'm having some internet connectivity issues, but you can trust me on that. Go check out slidecarnival.com and you should be able to see a nice selection of Google Slides templates that you can make use of on your own.
Cool. Slides, plural, carnival.com. Awesome.
That's correct.
This kind of gives Google Slides, a fighting chance against the likes of PowerPoint and Keynote, because I think there was kind of a dearth of templates, nice professional-looking templates. And with the offline capabilities of Google Slides, I think there's good reason now to give that a try. It's a nice tool. So good pick.
Very good.
My pick of the week, let me see if I can share that as well. Where am I? Right there. We're going to go to a new release of a tool that's been available through the mobile app, Wells Mobile, and that's the Synod Yearbook. Some people don't know that you can actually get to that online just by going to myb.wells.net. So my mobile yearbook, it stands for, it's a shortened version of it, myb.wells.net. So we have people and organizations available. We don't have all the full features of the paper yearbook or even some of the PDF yearbooks that you found on wells.net in the past. But I recently updated the content here, so it should be, you know, after the round of call days and assignments, those kinds of things, we should have all that information now in here. And again, you can search by people, by last name or city, or by organizations. And I've added a couple of different features to this recently. So let me just pull up a church. I'll pull up my home church here, Peace in Hartford. So you can search by organization, name, or city. I'll hit search. I'll see the three organizations that are in Hartford, Wisconsin, the church, the school, and the Early Childhood Center. So if I click on the church, I see basic information, but now I've added the ability to, and this is not a difficult thing, this is kind of standard fare for apps like this, is the ability to click on a little locator icon where it'll open up Google Maps either on your phone, tablet, or computer and pinpoint where that location is, and then you can get driving directions if you want to do it that way. We've also added service times and then, of course, the ability to view who the current staff is, and you can connect with them through different methods as well in the app, whether that be phone, text, or email. So if you want to check that out, get the Wells Mobile app, just go to the iOS iTunes Store or the App Store or the Google Play Store, or it's even now available on Amazon. Just search for Wells Mobile, download the app, and you'll get it, or go online on the web, and you can get it as well. So just a little update there.
That's really nice, Martin. I hear that we keep those people working on the mobile app kind of chained to their desk and toiling away all the time, and they're doing great work, whoever they are.
Yeah, with my feet up on the ottoman at home is kind of how that works. So, nights and weekends. It's fun, though. I enjoy it.
I think it's really appreciated by a lot of folks. So good. Thanks for your work.
Yeah, last check, I just had to put some numbers for Synod Convention, because we do this Did You Know, series of rotating slides, and I wanted to get an updated number of installs of Wells Mobile, and I think it's like 17,000 installs at this point. So that's pretty cool.
That is.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to community feedback, Sally.
Sure. I wanted to start with an email we received from our friend Perry Lund. Perry's been listening and contributing to our show for many years now, and he's currently serving as a science teacher out at Evergreen Lutheran High School out in the Pacific Northwest District. And recently, I think on show 399, we made mention of an infographic he had shared about the OneNote classroom capabilities with Office 365. So he wrote a follow-up email, said, I was just listening in on some of Wells Tech 399, was surprised to hear you mention the OneNote classroom. Evergreen is continuing to work on Office 365 use in the classroom. Ted Klug, who formerly was at Lakeside as their technology coordinator, is joining us from Lakeside as our new principal. So between the two of them, Perry and Ted, both techies at heart, technology should be pretty exciting in the future at Evergreen. He says, we may be the one high school in Wells doing Office 365 Pathway instead of Google. We're going to look at Microsoft Class Dashboard and Teacher Dashboard for Office 365. And it's coming in preview soon, and he's excited because Evergreen is moving to PowerSchool next year, and they should interplay. And then separately, Perry sent us a tweet and mentioned that an article was out. Let me see if I can share my screen. And this article actually is titled, Coming Soon, New Ways to Achieve More in Your Classroom. It's from the Office 365 blogs, and it talks specifically about the integration of different student information systems, and in particular, they have some quotes from the Managing Director of School Systems at PowerSchool about how excited he is that PowerSchool is integrating their student information system with Microsoft and Office 365. So some pretty important breakthroughs, especially if you're a PowerSchool user, you may want to pay attention to this Office 365 channel for PowerSchool. Lots of options out there.
Cool. I love the approach they're taking. I feel kind of justified because I've been tooting Microsoft's horn for a while with, you know, their options, and they're getting more and more attractive. Not that I have anything against kind of the Google Apps approach and the Chromebooks, although Chromebooks can go cross-platform too. You can use Office 365 with those. But it's good to hear some that are considering the Office pathway, and as he says, and I think I'm looking forward to hearing more about how that's going, because the pricing is good, the tools are very good, and now they're cross-platform. You can get them, you can get Office tools on any platform and any device. So Microsoft's making a play here, and they're really good. The OneNote stuff especially, I think, is just tailor-made for teachers and students. So we'll see how that goes. Keep us up to date, Perry.
Awesome. All right, a few more screen shares as I make my way through articles shared on our Wells Tech DIGO group page. And the first one is from Jason Schmidt, where he shared a link to Leno. Leno is an online collaborative bulletin board of sorts, and you can add things like sticky notes in different colors. You can add images and video, and it might be useful for collaborating on a project or for allowing students to produce a sharing type web page with a variety of content included. It is a free tool, and you do have lots of options with it. So if you're looking for that kind of thing, I've seen it used for Kanban type things, just for doing maybe a site map or something like that. As you're trying to figure out what else on your website, you could use different color sticky notes to represent different areas. Lots of opportunities here in this colorful, collaborative environment of Leno. So check out a link in our show notes for Leno.
Thanks.
And then a couple of articles shared by Jason Winjet. The first one is titled, Are You Putting Technology Ahead of Your Church's Message? And I love the imagery here. It's got a horse behind the cart. So you've got the cart before the horse. And I think the point of this was to not be so caught up in the technology of things that you're not forwarding the gospel message, your church's mission, by the communication you're using. So if your content is more about you than your message, you may be putting the cart before the horse. So pay attention to this article, read it through, give it some thoughts. They give you some tips on making everything balanced so that you're not communicating the wrong things as you strive to do your social type communications. I thought it was an excellent article, Martin.
Yeah, I think that's also a theme that came out of the Wells Tech Conference from last weekend was, technology is cool and all, and it's a gift from God that he expects us to use in as wise stewards, but ultimately it's about the ministry, and that's where you start, that's where your focus should be, and then implement technology where it makes sense. Those of us that love technology tend to sometimes put that cart before the horse, and obviously that's not going to go well, so good article.
Yep. One more from Jason, and also from Internet Toolbox for Churches, the same website. It's titled Church Facebook Post Applying Best Practices. And so this article kind of walks you through some do's and don'ts of posting to Facebook. And what I like about it is they give you very specific examples. So they've like captured screenshots of things not done so well in terms of church Facebook posting. And they tell you, you know, what's poor about it. And then they give you an example of one that is done well. So you can see the difference and the contrast between
the two. That's an awesome approach, kind of a before and after, or kind of compare and contrast to those, because it's an art and a science. That's cool.
Definitely. And there's lots of different examples covered here. So a good thing to read up on, just to kind of solidify your methodologies around posting on Facebook, especially if you're a church or school trying to share messages through that communication channel. Yeah. I know that Katie Clennard Ellison's topic at Wells Tech Conference was taking your social media to another level, the next level, and maybe these kind of articles would fit in well for those who attended her sessions as well.
Yeah, you need a thoughtful approach. Just don't dive in. Yeah. You think through it, have a strategy.
And one more article I tagged, I believe just recently released, are the Money Magazine's College Planner reviews of colleges across the country. And I was really excited to see MLC listed as Money's number 52 on Money's best college list. And there's a separate list where they categorize the best colleges that you can get into, because MLC has such a high acceptance rate. It scored number 4 in the nation of best colleges that you can get admitted to. And I think it's based on a lot of the things that are displayed here on the Money Magazine page, you know, net price and things like that. They have some really excellent quotes from students about the camaraderie on campus, the unique environment, very few bad things to say about the college, and just a really great stamp of approval in an important place. I think a lot of students search Money Magazine's Best College Planner often to help them narrow down list of schools. I'm happy to see Martin Luther College represented there.
Cool. And 50, they were rated 52, but even higher in a different category, right?
That's right. They were number 4 in the best colleges that you can get admitted to. So right. They have a very high admittance rate or acceptance rate.
Cool. All right. Is that it for community feedback?
That will do it for community feedback. So we should move on then to ministry resources. And I don't know why I quit sharing my screen. But I will take you to the ministry resource selection that we have. And this too came out of Wells Tech Conference. The website is called fulloftheyes.com. It's FullOfEyes, fulloftheyes.com. And this is a website that was referenced during Wells Tech Conference by Pastor Mark Parsons. Pastor Parsons was part of our planning committee and also our devotion leader on Friday morning. And one of the things he used in his devotion was some imagery for this site. And there were questions about where his imagery came from. So he shared that the artist of all the biblical images is Chris Powers, and he provides his artwork digitally free of charge at fulloftheyes.com. So a great addition to our ministry resource page. And he's got lots and lots of different imagery out here that you may want to take advantage of. So check it out. And thanks, Pastor Parsons, for sharing that.
Very nice. We do have a featured video. And if you were listening to the first part of the show, you might have already predicted what it might be. It is the Screwtape Ignite presentation by Pastor James Aderman. I just need to go to our show notes page and we'll have it listed there. We have playlists on our Wells Tech YouTube account, and it is now added to one of those. So that 6 minutes, 40 seconds of Screwtape is available and our featured video of the week. Thanks, Pastor Aderman, for giving us a chuckle and some good advice as well on PowerPoint.
Absolutely.
Sally, we're going to do 402 next week, and we have in our sights Synod Convention. And that's just in a couple weeks. So normally we take the show before Synod Convention to talk a little bit about the technology behind Synod Convention and perhaps talk to a few people behind all that and what you can expect coming out of Synod Convention as far as coverage and some of the tools that we'll use to kind of keep you up to speed. So tune in next week for all of that.
Looking forward to it.
And looking forward to seeing you once again. We've been seeing a lot of each other, Sally. You're going to travel now, skip over Wisconsin and go straight over to Michigan for Synod Convention. And we will do a show. We haven't even talked about that show, but we'll do a show from the Synod Convention floor, I'm sure. And I think have some interesting interviews there as well. So lots of good stuff for the next couple weeks of Wells Tech.
Definitely stay tuned.
Just a reminder to everybody, if you want to watch this show live, we try and do it every Tuesday at 4 o'clock Central. Not always successful. We usually will let you know if the schedule changes. But go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. You can see all of the previous shows. They're all listed there. You can see all the resources we put together, picks of the week, interviews, reviews, et cetera, et cetera. There's all kinds of ways to get in touch with us, too. As we mentioned, one of the neat things about Wells Tech Conference was the sharing, the ability to connect with other people. We'd like you to do that online in a digital fashion, too. We've got lots of different options for you to do that, Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Digo, Pinterest, Instagram, Wells Tech Listserv. You can always email us, wellstech@wells.net, or there's a big blue bar at the right side of that screen. You just click that and talk, and you'll be sending us a voicemail. We haven't had a voicemail in a long time, Sally. So challenge to all you Wells Tech listeners or viewers, send us a voicemail. We'd love to hear your voice and play it on the show and talk about what you talk about. So, Sally, I think that's going to do it for 401. Thanks again for all your work as usual. And thanks to everybody that's out there watching, listening. Share the news that this little show exists and we're talking about technology and ministry. We'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.